Chip Reddy's in the hospital. He should be coming home tonight or tomorrow. John Bryant is, something's wrong, we're not sure what. We need to pray for him, ask God's protection. Carol Murphy had surgery this past week, carpal tunnel surgery, but she's supposed to be here this morning, but she's not, so I'm not sure she's doing good or what. Jane Walker's got pneumonia and bronchitis at the same time. And we just got a slew of people that need to be prayed for. We got some recovery from surgery, some scheduled for surgery, and then we got stuff going on in this world. So we need to pray for each other. We need to remember each other constantly. So let's go to the Lord's prayer. Father Almighty, what a blessing it is to be in the house of God. Lord, I'm very grateful that you allowed us to leave in the parking lot. Sure did make us realize how much we love this sanctuary. So thank you, Lord, for the privilege of meeting with Grass Baptist Church in our sanctuary. Father, I do thank you that you allowed us to worship in the parking lot, the privilege it was. But most of all, I just thank you, Father, for the privilege of worshiping you, no matter where we're at. God, I know that you're here. I know that you know our prayer concerns. I know, Lord, that you know what's going on in our lives. You know what's going on in this world, in our country, in our city. We ask, Lord, that you would draw your people back to you. How many times we've asked, Lord, that you do whatever it takes, and this may be what it takes to make us to go through this stuff. Lord, I'm very grateful for Jesus, our Savior, who died on the cross for our sins. Those who have Jesus in their heart are looking forward to one day spending eternity with them if we enter the presence of God. I pray for those lost souls, Lord, that have no idea who Jesus is. Somehow or another, they would receive the message of the gospel. Lord, that they would be convicted of their sins and give their life to you. We pray for our leaders, we pray for our country's leaders, our city's leaders, the states, our governors. I know it's hard to make these decisions, Lord. Lift them up to you, asking that they be on their knees and asking for God's help. Pray for our church, Father, in the future. July 19th, Father, as we have a business meeting, Lord, that you would cover us, give us unity, give us your peace about the future of our church. God, as we make decisions, Father, when to meet back in the sanctuary, when to have something to do, and when to turn on the water valve, take off this table of the pews. Lord, we need you. We need your help. We need your guidance. We don't want to do anything, Lord, without you. We beseech you, we beg you to help us. We pray, Father, for each one here. We bless them with the word to their heart. Lord, as we talk about country today, get ready for July 4th, I pray, Lord, that you would talk to Christians and give us the answers to the questions that we have concerning how we can help. Lord, we love you and praise you and pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to look at one verse in Proverbs chapter 14, that's Proverbs 14, verse 34. Proverbs 14, 34, we're going to look at a message to our country from God. And then we'll look at some other verses as well. But let's start out with one verse, 14, 34, Proverbs. The Bible shortly says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So I have a series of questions that I wrote down as I prepared this message. And I was thinking of July 4th coming up, and next week I want to probably do the B part of this. So I want to start out us thinking about our nation. And all these questions I'm going to ask have to do with our nation and what our response will be later on. And here are four or five questions, but I'm going to have all sorts of questions. questions throughout this message. Do you think that God gives this message, talked about Proverbs 14:34, to the United States of America today? Is God talking to us, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people? And if he's given us this same message, does he give it to us? Are we willing to listen and to obey what he has to say to us? And what will happen if we as a nation don't respond to God's word? And how we respond tells whose side we are on. And I want you to hear that. How we respond to God's word will tell whether we want to be righteous or sinful. America was founded by people who believed God was their rock of safety. I recognize that this may not be the message that everybody wants to hear. So be it. We need to hear God's word, especially what's happening today. Ronald Reagan had a way of sharing his thoughts with people that if you listen to him, some of you probably weren't around when he was president, but I believe he was president. He just spoke such a way that you wanted to listen to what he had to say, whether you agreed with it or not. He said it in a nice way. He said it in a way that didn't really offend you. It just made you have to think. And here's one of the things he said. I know that we need to be cautious in claiming that God is on our side, but I think it's right to keep asking if we're on his side. Think about that for a second. How often we ask that God be on our side? Somebody like President Reagan to remind us, no, let's be on God's side. That's what the message is all about today. So let's look at Proverbs 14:34 as a message from God to the United States of America. So let me read it one more time. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The word righteousness, it implies sovereignty, and there are two choices that we need to see the choices of who is sovereign in this country. It's either God or sin. Really no gray area in between. You're either on God's side or you're on the side of sin. You can't have both. In God's definition of righteousness, when a nation is in the right relationship with him, his people produce righteous behavior. So I'm talking to us right now. We're on God's side, and we're in a right relationship with him, then we produce righteousness, which exalts God, which lifts up God. A righteous nation belongs to Christ. Would you agree with that? A righteous nation seeks God's direction and depends on God. The basis of Proverbs 14:34 is based on God's moral law. Based on God's standard. So the question is this. Is this country a righteous nation based on God's standards, his moral laws? And I want you to think about what's going on right now. Do our leaders use God's standards to go by? Do we use his standards to live by? Knowing his word is our standard, do we use it as a guide to the way we decide to do things, those choices that we make? A lot of questions need to be answered. And we're going to answer some of them, or have to answer some of them today. So, I don't know about you, but when I want an answer for what to do and how to do it, I always go to God's word. Sometimes I like the answer I find, sometimes I'm not real thrilled, but this is God's word, and we're going to do what God says. He doesn't change his opinion. Yes, he does. I do. So as we think about the stuff going on, as we think about our church and our future, remember there's two choices. We can choose righteous side, we can choose God's side, we can choose the world's side, and sinful. So Psalm 119, we're going to look at three sets of verses out of this. Psalm 119, verse 40. Psalm 119 can help you with life. If you just study that one chapter, you can find a whole lot of answers to life. Psalm 119, verse 40. Behold, this is David speaking, I long for your precepts. I long for your word. I long for you to to speak to my heart, God. Revive me in your righteousness. So as we're doing a check in our life of side world, God's side, or sin side, are we willing to say, Lord, I long for this. I long for your word. I search your word. I want this to guide my life. I want to be able to depend on your word, and then revive me in your righteousness. It's pretty tough to do today, to be living for the Lord, taking a stand in the Lord's name. But that's a choice that you and I have to make. That's a choice that this country has to make. Psalm 119, verse 142, as we're making choices and trying to decide how to and what to. Psalm 119, verse 142, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Your law is truth. So as we choose righteousness, we realize it's just not a short-term righteous living. It's everlasting. It's eternal. It's forever. When you belong to Christ, you walk in God's ways. You seek His word for guidance. You pattern your life after this. And no matter what takes place, how we get so worried about things, how things just seem like they crush us and cave in on us, this is what we base our life on. We trust in God. So keep on going with me. Psalm 119, verses 97 through 106. 97 through 106. Oh, how I love your law. Can you see the repetition David is making? I love your word. I love your precepts. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So as we're making a choice of God's righteousness versus sin, and sometimes the sin part attracts us and just draws us to it. We agree with some of the sinful stuff. Yet when we get in the Word of God and we love the Word of God, we long for the Word of God in our life, we ask God to deliver us and guide us through all this stuff, we realize that sin is not so hot after all. It may sound good, it may look good, it may taste good, it may be pleasing for just a season, a short time. God's word is everlasting. Based on Psalm 119, what we've just read so far is the United States a righteous nation. Right. We're not searching God's word out, are we? We're not longing for God's word. Our leaders are not longing, as far as I know, for the word of God. Some of them are, don't get me wrong. But the direction this country is going and has been taken, we're siding with what? We're siding with the sin part and not the righteous part. So at the end, I'm going to give you some encouragement, so you should not put up with this right now. But I am building a case that this country is not a righteous country. And the proof is in the pudding. Are we siding with the sin side? Have we become a nation like we see in Judges 21 and 25? And everything that I'm sharing with you, I've got straight out of the Word of God. Judges 21 and 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Have we got there yet? Not everyone. But there's an awful lot of people doing what's right in their own eyes. This is kind of scary. Until we think of who we are, what side we're on, who's our boss, who's in control. Everyone's doing what looks light of our eyes begin, as we look at daily news, as we look at the national news, does this nation believe in the absolute truth of God's word? Again, the proof is in the pudding. Some of us do, I don't hear you wrong, some of us do. But the majority, it seems like what we see in the news today, is they're doing things wherever they want to do, everything's okay, it doesn't matter, laws don't matter, traditions don't matter. I'm just going to do what I feel like doing. In fact, I was talking to one of our city leaders, and he said they're getting threats every single day that they're going to do something to our city with statues and different things. Whatever they feel like doing, they're going to do it. And there's nothing that this city can do against them. They don't care about the police, they don't care about laws, they don't care about anything. In this nation, do people know the difference between right and wrong? Chosen wrong. Do we live in a culture that believes that everyone is entitled to their own set of truths? I think we're moving that way. Everybody thinks they're entitled, even Christians, but we're not entitled to our own thoughts and our own desires, are we? We're bondservants to Jesus Christ. We're entitled to His thoughts, no others. Does it matter what the book you worship with, the Bible, matter to most people? And the answer is no. We worship this and no other. But others worship other forms of religion, and that's just fine in their eyes. In this country, do we think that all faith systems are good and equal? And the answer to that is yes. Most people think that every religion is equal. But I heard a preacher this week said, Jesus said the most disturbing verse he was telling it from his mouth at the time. They didn't have a Bible back when Jesus was on this earth. And he made the most disturbing thought come out of his mouth forever. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And that threw a wrench in everybody's thinking. So who do we side with, them or him? Of course, the answer is him. We side with the Lord. Do all religions get you to heaven? And if you listen to them, they're okay. They're going to heaven because they're doing good. They're doing what they think's right. But we know how you get to heaven. Don't I just told you, John 14:6, through the blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else. And we take a stand on that. We're not going to back down from that. We're not going to, just because they want us to not say that, we're going to say that. We're going to believe that. We're going to live by that. This church stands for that. What does this nation believe about abortion? What does this nation believe about sexual preference? What does this nation believe about gambling? What does this nation believe about drinking? Part of it, the answer is right up the street from us. They're building that racetrack. And the gambling, drinking, it's just going to be great. It's going to bring in so many people. There's going to be so many dollars coming in. And that's the way the world's going, but we don't, do we? What about the Ten Commandments? What's the nation think about the Ten Commandments? Have they taken them out of the schools? Have they taken them out of courthouses? What about prayer? What's this country think about prayer today? It's okay if you pray to Allah, but you better not pray to Jesus Christ. It's okay if you get down on your knees 3 or 5 times a day and look that way, but you better not look up that way. What about the saying, in God we trust? I heard this week that they're trying to do away with the Pledge of Allegiance because it says, in God we trust. So the question is this country a righteous nation or not? Whose side have we chosen? God's side or sin's side? As God looks at the United States today, does he see a sinful nation or a nation that exalts him by our righteousness. Now answer that with me. As he looks down on this nation, the United States of America, does God see a sinful nation or a nation that raises their hands and exalts the Lord Jesus Christ in their lifetime? I'm seeing all of you say the right answer right away. There's a scary verse dealing with our choices in Psalm 9, verse 17. So let me read that to you. Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And that's a really scary verse to me. The reason being because of that word forgotten. Has this nation forgotten God? Can we answer that day or day? Do you think this nation has forgotten God? Well, let me give you some good news. And then this is all for us now. Not all of us have forgotten God. In fact, not a single one of us has forgotten God. Yay, amen, praise the Lord for you guys. We have not forgotten God, and some of us want and desire to live righteous in order that we exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Our church seeks to live a righteous life. Yes, we're sinners, and yes, we do things wrong every so often, but our hearts live in a righteous way so that we can exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in our lifestyle. We're different. Thank the Lord for that. We want our nation to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? My heart has been broken by what's going on in this country, and some of your hearts have broken because of what's taking place now. So it's kind for us to realize that we can't control them, but we sure can control us. We live a righteous lifestyle. Exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you some things that happen to a nation that lives and seeks righteousness. I have at least five things that I want to share with you. One of them is going to be based on Deuteronomy chapter 4, so let's run to that so I don't have to stop and look up. Deuteronomy 4, and I'll tell you where it is in just a second. But the first thing that the nation that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the kind of nation that is set apart for the Lord. That's the way the United States used to be. We were God's country. We were set apart to Him. And our righteousness shone, and we exalted the Lord by our righteousness. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, I'm going to read to you 10 verses out of there. He's talking to Israel, but let's bring it up to us now. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers have given. You shall not add to the word which I command you, or take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, and the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, and every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments. I taught you my word, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should not set according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore be careful and observe them of the word of the Lord of God, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon Him? What great nation is there that such statutes and righteous judgments are all in His law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself, and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart on the days of your life. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, which the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days of their life on this earth. That's a lot. That's the kind of nation that is set apart for God. They're set apart because they follow God's word. That's what we are. We're set apart. We are different. We're peculiar people because we're set apart on this. Secondly, a nation that lives righteously is protected by God's own. It's a protected nation. God protects us. Remember, as the Israelites went through all the stuff they went through, when they were in the Word, when they followed God, they were obedient to the Word of God. Didn't God protect them as they went through the Promised Land? Didn't God go before them and even send hordes to destroy the enemies one time? He can do it all. He protects a nation that lifts him up and exalts him in righteousness. Number three, a righteous nation is a strong nation. Strong because God is our commander. This country is still the greatest country in the world. But if we're not careful, that can slip away. All we have to do is get away from God, quit following the book, His Word. So a righteous nation is a strong nation. Number four, a righteous nation is able to enter the Promised Land. Today that would be the kingdom of God. We're able to enter into God's presence as we live righteously and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, a righteous nation has a God that answers their prayers. He may not answer it right away. He may take his time. He may say no. But he answers our prayers as a nation. So I want to close with something really familiar of who we are, what we are to do, because all this stuff I painted, I did that on purpose. I painted three draft pictures of our country, but that's just the state our country is in. But we don't have to be in that state. We can be right with God. We can be living a righteous life in front of everybody else, in front of the world, that's sort of, lack of a better word, rotten, sinful, evil. So I'm going to close with something we've heard so many times before, but it's what we need to do as a nation, as an individual, as a church. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And these words are so important to us today. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, are we God's people or not? We are, aren't we? No matter what we've been up to this point, God is calling us back. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So we humble ourselves before the Lord. We pray to God Almighty. We seek His face in every single decision, everything that we do, and turn from their wicked ways. Turn from our sinful ways. If we have a hidden sin in our life, turn away from it. We return to God. We humble ourselves before God. Guess what, by the way? If you think you have a secret sin, it's not secret to God. He knows about it. All He's doing is opening His arms to us, His people, called by His name, saying, give it up and return to me. That's where we're at. Lord, forgive us of our sins. And as we turn from those wicked ways, Bible says, God says, then I will hear from heaven. I hear your repentance. I hear your broken heart. I hear that you're that person that wants to exalt the name of Jesus in front of this sinful, evil world. And I will forgive their sin and heal their land. This is not a righteous nation right now. God is calling His people to come to me. Come back to me. I don't know if you have family members that have gotten away from God, gotten away from His ways, from this right here, that they don't worship like they ought to. But you know that they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're just waiting. This is their opening. This is the way you can pray for them. The Lord, they belong to you. Humble them. Help them to return to you. Help them to start praying and seeking your face. Help them to repent of their sins. And as they do that, guess what God will do? He'll hear their prayers. He'll hear your prayers. And He'll answer our prayers made from this place in His presence. So this is not a very righteous nation. But we're still a righteous people. It's time to return to God. You watch the news just like I do. When we get up to about right there, there's not much place else to go except on your knees, asking for help. God, we need you. We really need you in our country. We want you in our country. firm hand with your people that are leading this country. Doesn't matter whether you like it or not, you pray for them. There's some on both sides. I